It is good to have each of you out again today, and we do appreciate all those who have taken time to come visit. I invite you to take your Bibles and turn along with us as we study yet another portion of God's Word. In the last days of the southern kingdom of Judah, Israel had become incredibly corrupt, especially for a people who ought to have known God's word. And in Jeremiah chapter 5, and starting with verse 20, Jeremiah chapter 5, and in verse 20, we read, "Declare this in the house of Jacob and proclaim it in Judah, saying, Now hear this, O foolish and senseless people, who have eyes but do not see, who have ears but do not hear. Do you not fear me, declares the Lord? Do you not tremble in my presence? For I have placed the sand as a boundary for the sea, an eternal decree so they cannot cross over it. Though the waves toss, they cannot prevail. Though they roar, they cannot cross over it. But this people has a stubborn heart and rebellious heart. And they turn aside and departed. Even nature obeys God's commands. But God says, but this people refuses to stay within the boundaries of what God has said. And God purposed them to severely punish this people. Starting in verse 26, it's for the wicked man are found among my people. They watch like fowlers lying in wait. They set a trap. They catch men like a cage full of birds, so their houses are full of deceit. Therefore, they have become great and rich. They are fat. They are sleek. They are also excel in deeds of wickedness. They do not plead the cause of the orphan, that they may prosper. They do not defend the rights of the poor. Shall I not punish these people, declares the Lord, on a nation such as this? Shall I not avenge myself? An appalling and a horrible thing has happened in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule by their own authority, and my people love it so. But what will you do at the end of it?" God is clearly upset. But he offers a hope. He asks Jeremiah in chapter 5 and verse 1 to go find one man. He tells Jeremiah, "Roam to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and look now and take note and seek her in open squares. If you can find a man, if there is one who does justice, who seeks truth, then I will pardon her." All you have to do is find one guy. You need to find a man who deals justly. In other words, a man who performs deeds of righteousness with equity. Somebody who's impartial. Somebody who treats other people with dignity. Oh, but he also has to be an honest man. A man who looks for the truth. Not just a truthful man, but one who diligently looks until he finds the truth. A man who looks for truth and then puts it into practice. Jeremiah saw just one man who demonstrates those two qualities. One solitary person. And what's horrible is Jeremiah can't find such a man in Jerusalem. He looked around him and he says, the very first thing he noticed, he says, "And although they say, as the Lord lives, surely they swear falsely. They take oaths before God, but they lie. They don't keep their oaths. They even refused to acknowledge that God was punishing them. Take a look at verse 3. O Lord, do not your eyes look for truth? You have smitten them, but they are not weakened. You have consumed them, but they refuse to take correction. They made their faces harder than rock. They refuse to repent. They don't see anything wrong with what they're doing, let alone return to God and learn from their punishments. In fact, their leaders have declared themselves as being free from God. Look at verse 5. I will go to the great and speak to them, for they know the way of the Lord and the ordinance of their God. But they too, with one accord, have broken the yoke and burst the bonds. I can't find anybody. Not among the common people. I can't find it among the leaders of the people. Instead, what he finds in verse 8 is that they are like well-fed, lusty horses, each one neighing after his neighbor's wife. They're just focused on the here and now. They're just focused on what they desire. They don't care about anybody else. So why bring this up? Well, one of the reasons is because we decided that this month we're going to talk about honesty. And Jeremiah was told to find just a man who wanted truth, as well as a man who was just. But one of the things we have to understand is God's people can fall away. We're talking about that in class this morning. It doesn't take much for people to leave God. God's protection doesn't mean that we are saved from ourselves. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27, Paul said, I have disciplined my body and make it my slave so that after I preach to others, I myself may not be disqualified. If Paul is concerned about possibly being disqualified, then doesn't that mean that I need to be concerned about it too? And in 1 Corinthians 10, right after saying that, he goes into a section where he describes how Israel fell so many times. For I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were under this cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they are drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. They had all the advantages. They're no different than you and I. Now these things happen as an example for us, that we should not crave after evil things as they also craved. Do not be idolaters as some of them were, as is it written, the people sat down to eat and drink and stood up to play. Nor let us act immorally as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in one day. Nor let us try the Lord as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents. Nor grumble as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example. They were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. How many ways did the Israelites fall? One of these days I'm going to dust off that sermon again. Because, 600,000 plus men left Egypt? And at least among the men, how many made it actually into Canaan? into the promised land. Two. Think about those ratios. We think about the promise of heaven that's waiting for us. How many of us are actually going to make it? After all the sins that are occurring in the world around us and oftentimes within among ourselves. Paul warns in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 12, it says, "So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live." And in 2 Peter, Peter also here warns us. It's not just Paul. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 18, it says, "For speaking out arrogant words of vanity, they entice by fleshly desires, by sensuality, those who barely escape from the ones who live in error, promising them freedom while they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by what a man is overcome, by this he is enslaved. For if, after they had escaped the defilements of the world by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and are overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first." It can become worse to be a Christian and fall away than never to have responded in the first place. Because, see, at least if you haven't heard the word, there's a chance somebody can teach you. But if you have accepted the word and you left it, what's there left to teach? Another thing we learn from Jeremiah, though, is that God's just in punishing the disobedient. That's what God asked. Shouldn't I do something about this? It's not my right to do something. See, God's not just a God of love. He's a God of justice as well. In Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11 and verse 22. "Behold then the kindness and severity of God. To those who fell, severity. But to you, God's kindness, if you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you too will be cut off." Now, after Jeremiah predicted about the fall of Jerusalem, Daniel, at the end of the punishment, looks back and prays to God. And in Daniel chapter 9, Daniel chapter 9 and starting with verse 9, he says, To the Lord our God belongs compassion and forgiveness. For we have rebelled against him, nor have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his teachings which he has set before us through his servants, the prophets. Indeed, all Israel has transgressed your law and turned aside, not obeying your voice. So the curse has been poured out on us, along with the oath which was written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, for we have sinned against him. Thus he has confirmed his words, which he has spoken against us, against our rulers who ruled us, to bring us great calamity. For under the whole heaven there has not been done anything like what has been done to Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this calamity has come on us. Yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our iniquity and giving attention to your truth. Therefore the Lord has kept the calamity in store and brought it on us. For the Lord our God is righteous and with respect to all his deeds which he has done. But we did not obey his voice. This is not a prayer of woe is me, we're a victim. Daniel said, God told us. God warned us. And all through our history, we did not obey God's voice. What else could we expect but God to keep his word? Because God will repay all wrong. Over in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and in verse 19. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. We got to understand that. God will take vengeance. Maybe not on the time scale that we think, but he will correct the wrongs. Vengeance comes in this world at times. We see nations topple. Others rise because people have sinned. Individuals might fall because of their sins. But even so, if it delayed a little longer, God's going to correct the problems, if nothing else, at his second coming. In 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, starting with verse 4. Therefore, we ourselves speak proudly of you among the churches of God for your perseverance and faith in the midst of your persecutions and afflictions which you endure. This is a plain indication of God's righteous judgment, so that you will be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for indeed you are suffering. For after all, it is only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to give relief to you who are afflicted, and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. God will fix things. And he's very much in his right. And there's absolutely no room for complaint. But underneath all of this lies an idea that there is an absolute truth. There is a right and a wrong. In John chapter 8, John chapter 8 and verse 31. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You can know what is true. But we have to abide in the truth. We have to abide in Christ's word. Because God's word is the truth. In John 17, verse 17, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Jeremiah sought all over for somebody who would seek out truth, who would live it, who would apply it. At least in John's time, in 2 John, 2 John and verse 4, John found such people. 2 John verse 4 says, I was very glad to find some of your children walking in truth, just as we have received commandment to do from the Father. John at least found some people walking the truth. Are we willing to stand for justice and for truth? Are we willing to contend earnestly for the faith? In Jude verse 3, Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once handed down to the saints. We have to contend for the faith. We have to stand up for the truth. We have a world full of people who are denying the truth right now. We have violence going on in the streets. And people saying that's justified, that it is adequate, it is all right. It's destruction, it's violence. Since when has that ever been true? People are trying to reverse what's right and wrong. And then claim that, well, you have the problem if you don't see that. We have to contend for the faith. Ezekiel was told in Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3. And starting with verse 17. Son of man, I appointed you a watchman to the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, warn them from me. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you do not warn him or speak out to warn the wicked man from his wicked way, that he may live, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at your hand. Yet if you have warned the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered yourself. Again, when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I place an obstacle before him, he will die. Since you have not warned him, he shall die in his sin, and his righteous deeds which he has done shall not be remembered, but his blood I will require at your hand. However, if you have warned the righteous man that the righteous should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live, because he took warning, and you have delivered yourself. We need to teach. We need to instruct, because there are going to be some people who at least will listen to the truth. Another verse I'd like you to consider is over in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians 16, starting with verse 13. Be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. I want you to think about if John or Jeremiah was running through the streets today, looking for a man who does justice and truth. Would he find you? There's so much going wrong today. And people, even those who are not in the church, are seeing that something's collapsing. We need to show people where to go. What to stand up for. We're going to talk more tonight about this idea of truth, that there is an absolute truth as opposed to a relative one. Because we need to be able to talk about this and show people there is a right and a wrong, and right now this nation's not following the right. I hope you'll think about these things. If there's anyone here today who's not yet a child of God, we leave an opportunity for you. And for those who are children of God and would like the prayers of the brethren on behalf, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that was selected.